I don't know that I've ever preached to a group of students before that I enjoyed preaching to any more than you guys yesterday. And I just appreciate your attentiveness and the way you guys listen to the Word of God. And I have a message for you today that the Lord's laid on my heart. And I would ask you, if you have a Bible, to find Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament and find the 10th chapter, the first verse, if you would. And that's the only verse I want to focus on today. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Word of God says this: dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. I'd like to read that again. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Oils and perfumes in the Middle East in this day could be very, very costly. As a matter of fact, we have some evidence that there were times in this age when people bought and sold by the means of using oil as a transaction, almost like a currency. We know that the perfume Mary, Lazarus' sister, used to anoint the feet of Jesus Christ was worth an entire year's wage. That was some very expensive oil. In comparison to this, Ecclesiastes, just a little bit earlier, chapter 7, verse 1 says this: a good name is better than precious ointment. He's saying a good name, a godly reputation, is more important than the most expensive of expensive oil. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 introduces us to a man. He's a good man. He's a godly man. We know this because our verse tells us he's a man of honor. In the Hebrew, kabod, it means his life carries weight. He's also called a man of wisdom, chokmah. It means to be skillful and to be wise. This word is used over and over again in the wisdom literature of the Bible, the book of Proverbs and Psalms. Not only is he a man of honor and a man of wisdom, but his honor and wisdom has bought him a reputation. And this word reputation means to be bright, clear, and clean. It means to have a good reputation, good name, good character, one that carries weight with those that know him. Then our text today reveals that something happens to change all of that. The text simply calls it a little folly, sikluth, a little foolishness, a little silliness, a little indiscretion. It's like a dead fly falling in the oil of the perfumer. And suddenly the sweet fragrance of this man's reputation is lost. The brightness and the clarity and the crispness of his reputation and godly character are stolen away in a moment. And now a question mark is raised where there used to be an exclamation point. It's a stinking savor. It's a loathsome scent. When a person has a reputation for being a Christian and he compromises, when someone claims to love Jesus Christ and gets caught in some sin, it really stinks. The Word of God says a righteous man falling down before the wicked is like a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Proverbs 25:26. When King David, whom we've looked at a lot this week, when King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, the prophet Samuel confronted him and said, "By this deed, You have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. 2 Samuel 12:14. And I thought about you students as the Lord laid this text on my heart. You're here in this school because you come from a Christian home. Your parents sent you here so that, like this man in our text, you might be a person of honor, a person of wisdom, a person of character, a person of Christian reputation. I have to tell you this today because I love you. When you claim to be a Christian and live like the world, it really stinks. When you say that you're different and yet you participate in sinful activities, the Word of God simply says it stinks. Here's the point of this text. A godly reputation takes a lifetime to build, but it only takes a second to destroy. Therefore, guard the deposit that the Lord has placed within you. As I studied and meditated upon Ecclesiastes 10:1, you young people at Glen Iris Baptist School came to my mind. Several principles came to my mind that I believe might help you be a consistent Christian and finish your race well, to be honorable for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's be honest, there are far more casualties that fail at their Christian profession than there are who consistently run the Christian race. So I want to just share some principles with you about this from this text and how you and all I must be very careful and guard our walk with Christ. Let's look at these principles together. If you're taking notes, this would be the first one. I call it the careless principle. The careless principle. To be careless is to become a casualty. The oil that this perfumer made is sweet oil. It's a costly oil. It's rare. It's not common. It's made by the apothecary, which we would translate pharmacist. Someone who's highly skilled. And often through carelessness, the perfumer would forget and leave the vial of costly oil uncovered. He wouldn't put the lid on it. And because the oil was a sweet oil and it emits a sweet fragrance, it would draw flies. And the flies would come to investigate the sweet smell, and they would fall over into that vial and die overnight, and they'd begin to decompose. And when the apothecary would come in the next day, the sweet smell of the oil would be now giving off an awful, sour stench. Young person, the Bible says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, roameth about, seeking whom he may devour. You can't afford to be careless and reckless with your testimony. If you neglect the discipline of prayer, if you neglect meditation upon the Word of God, you're leaving the lid off of that sweet vial of oil. Carelessness exposes you to many dead flies that have the potential to corrupt your sweet fragrance for Jesus Christ. Adam Clark said, quote, "Alas, alas, in an unguarded moment, how many have tarnished the reputation that they were so many years in acquiring. Hence, no man can be said to be safe until he reaches the paradise of God." End of quote. Guard your testimony with all your strength. Guard your testimony with all your might. And here's how. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment, Mark 12:30. The careless principle. Young people, we cannot afford at this point to be careless. Principle number two. I call the leavening principle. The leavening principle. Notice what the text says in Ecclesiastes 10:1. It simply calls it a little folly. You might want to underscore that word little. Simply stated, Sin may often be small, but it's very powerful. The Bible uses leaven, what we would call yeast. You can go to the store and buy it today, and on the shelf it'll be in a little foil package. It says live active yeast. And it's small, but powerful. You can just take one little pinch of leaven and insert it into a dough ball, and it'll leaven the whole lump. That's what 1 Corinthians says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You just put a little bit in, and it'll permeate the whole thing. That's what he's talking about here. Just one dead fly, just one. Just one dead fly can cause the fragrance of the sweet oil to begin to stink. You might be tempted today to say, well, it's just one fly. What can it hurt? It's that word before flies that you'd better pay attention to. Dead. Dead flies. Every sin has in it the seeds of death. Romans 6:23. And like a cancer cell, if left alone, it'll multiply and spread and kill the entire body. Here's some principles of sin we need to understand. This is why I call it the leavening principle. Often sin works secretly, and you don't see it until it's affected everything it touches. Dead flies and leaven would decompose and cause fermentation, which is rot or spoilage. Sin will spoil your life. The end product is always death, a stinking savor, it says here. Kyle and Dalich, in their commentary on this text, refer to these flies as literally flies of dung or flies of death that trafficked out in the rubbish, out in the dump, out at the dung gate, out there in the garbage dump. And they would bring that poison and that filth into people's homes and transmit diseases. This is a picture of sin. You know, there are no favorable mention of flies in the Bible. I hate flies. They just don't seem to be good for anything. In Exodus, they're a part of God's plague on Pharaoh. Exodus 8, 21 through 31. Jesus' enemies called him Beelzebub, a derogatory, blasphemous term. The Lord of the flies. There is no good mention of flies in the Bible. And likewise, there's no good sin. Sin infects everything it touches. It's better to leave it off entirely. Jesus stated this principle in the Sermon on the Mount of salt losing its savor. It becomes worthless. It's thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. Likewise, just a little folly, just one dead fly in your oil can bring about sourness and stench and death to your testimony for Jesus Christ. The careless principle. You can't be careless with your testimony. The leavening principle. All it takes is a little folly. Here's principle number three. I call it the prime target principle. Yesterday, the pastor questioned me in front of you about bow hunting and shooting a bow. And when I pull my bow back and put the pin on the target, I aim to hit the target. And so does Satan. You guys are Satan's prime target. Notice what the text says in Ecclesiastes 10:1. He calls it the ointment of the apothecary. Again, this was no ordinary oil. This was costly perfume of an expert. The perfumer, the pharmacist. The specialist. Men studied for years to learn how to make these composition of oils, and they were very costly. They were very rare, just like a precious metal today. As a Christian, you are Satan's prime target to take down. He has a scope on you. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Listen to this. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. In the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, listen to those who were his target that he wanted to take back to his kingdom. children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science. You're the one the devil wants. You come from a Christian home. You go to church. You attend a Christian school. He would love nothing more than to destroy your testimony and your witness for Christ. You must remember that your adversary is the devil, and you must guard the sweet oil that Jesus has put in you from the flies of contaminated offers he'll give you. And young people, I warn you, the perfume that smells the sweetest stinks the greatest when it's corrupted. The perfume that smells the sweetest stinks the greatest when it's corrupted. Merrill Unger said, quote, "The finer the fragrance, the worse the stench. When he who is in reputation succumbs to a little folly." He goes on to say, "Odor is tolerable in common oils, but not in that which is produced by the apothecary for fragrance." The point is this. The higher in reputation a man is, the greater potential for a stink when he lets his guard down and practices folly. One of my favorite, Matthew Henry, and you guys would all do well to be introduced to Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry says, quote, "The folly which in another would not be taken notice of, in them is severely censured. Those who make a great profession of religion have need to walk very circumspectly, because many eyes are upon them and watch for their halting, for their failure." Jesus Christ is called the sweet rose of Sharon. Song chapter 2, verse 1. Don't allow anything to corrupt the sweet smell, the sweet fragrance of Christ in your life. The careless principle. The leavening principle. The prime target principle. You guys are in the crosshairs of your enemy, Satan. Principle number 4. I call it the principle of exposure. Young people, if you're listening, would you look this way? You're going to get caught. Everybody thinks they won't, but everybody does. The principle of exposure. God is going to see to it that you're exposed. Look at the text again, and I think I can prove it to you right here. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary, look at these two words, to send forth a stinking savor. It literally translates to emit a foul odor. Here's what I've learned about deer hunting. You guys seemed to be interested in that yesterday. Here's what I've learned about deer hunting. If a deer sees you, you might get away with it. If a deer hears you, you might even get away with that. I've walked right up on deer that see me. I have walked right up, I mean, within 5 yards of deer that hear me. But if they ever smell you, game over. They will not tolerate that. When they smell you, they're gone. Even if they don't see you, even if they don't hear you, their smell is incredible. And it tells them there's danger here. And when they smell you, they quickly run off. The Lord says when you compromise through carelessness or through outright rebellion and you leave the lid off the vial of the sweet oil that Jesus has deposited in you and the flies of dung and death fall in there and begin to decompose, he said that oil is going to begin to emit a foul odor, which simply means this. You're going to put off a strong scent, and sooner or later, your mom and your dad or your pastor or your teachers are going to get wind of it. They're going to smell it. And that's the work of the Lord. Young people, listen, be sure of this. Your sin will find you out. Never has been a man or a woman, never has been a young man or young woman that could sin and privately hide it and just get away with it. No, the principle of exposure. And here's what I want to tell you about. Let me just give you a little bit of insight on the devil before I give you my last point. Satan's going to tell you it's just a little fly. It's just one little indiscretion. It's not a big deal. It's okay. Just go ahead and do it. And he'll sell it to you on that point that it's just little, no big deal, doesn't matter. But when the fly falls into the oil and it begins to stink, and your mom and your dad get downwind of it, or your teachers get wind of it, or your pastor gets wind of it, I'll guarantee you, when you're found out, then Satan will make it like it's huge. He'll make it like it's awful, and it'll be a big deal then. He sells it to you up front like, oh, it doesn't matter. But then he turns the tables on you and makes it humongous when you get caught. And that's the way of Satan. The principle of exposure. It's actually a very loving thing for God to expose you when you compromise. It's a loving thing for God to expose you when you sin, because God doesn't want you to get trapped and it get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse till it ultimately destroys you. So what God in love does, he lets people get downwind and catch drift of it and say, man, Pastor, you and I kind of have this sense. We've been to this. We can get downwind of one of these guys and say, something's just not right. Right? Mom and dad have that sixth sense about them too, right? Grandmothers have that about them too. Teachers have that about them. Young people, police officers, you ought to respect your police officers. You ought to respect governing authorities. They have a good sense of smell. And sometimes when you're young, you don't have a good sense of smell. But God gives people around you a good sense of smell so that they can tell when something stinks and help you get out of it before the cost gets even higher. One last principle, maybe two, and then we'll close. Are y'all still with me? Look at the principle I call number five, the principle of peer pressure. You guys ever deal with peer pressure? Look, I'm 53 years old. It never ends. I still struggle with peer pressure today. If you live clean, if your smell for Jesus remains pure and pristine and beautiful, there are still going to be people all around you, and your righteousness is going to be offensive to them, and they're going to think you stink. Worldly, carnal people will think you stink. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He said, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. He said, to one, we're a savor of death, but unto another, we're a savor of life. When you live for Jesus and love Christ, and none of us are perfect, but you strive to follow Christ, it's not you that stink, it's the world that stinks. And they're so used to smelling stinking scents that they can't appreciate the sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ. So here's what they're going to do. They're going to try to put pressure on you to give up your sweet fragrance so you'll smell like them. They want you to smell just like them because your fragrance for Christ is offensive to them. That's called peer pressure. Just remember this, young people. God's nostrils are the only ones that matter. And the only one that you should worry who you smell like to is the Lord who created your oil and gave it to you. And lastly, the misery principle. The misery principle. Sin only ruins. Sin only spoils sweetness. Young people, sin will take the ring out of your voice. It'll take the joy out of your eyes. Sin will take the bounce out of your step. It'll take the sweet liberty out of your life, and it'll just bog you down. Maybe there's some young people here today, and you've been careless or just outright rebellious. Whatever the reason, you've left the lid off that sweet vial of oil that the Lord's deposited inside your heart. And some fly, some dung fly, has come and fallen into your oil. Some sin has been introduced into your oil. And it's decomposed, and it's rotted, and it's beginning to spread, and it's casting off an odor, and it stinks. I got a question for you. You've allowed some sin in your life. Are you happy? Is it fulfilling? Are you satisfied? When's the last time you walked outside and saw the beauty of the sky? When's the last time you were carefree? When's the last time you just enjoyed a hobby or just enjoyed being with your family? When's the last time you weren't stressed? When's the last time you didn't worry? That's what sin does. It robs us of the joy of the Lord's salvation. Young people, I want you to know this before I close. I've been in the ministry for almost 30 years. And every year for 30 years, I go to youth camp. because I want to be around guys like you. And every year for 30 years, I've gone and taught the word to our students and hung out and played games I don't like and ate things I don't like to eat in games and competitions and got tied and sprayed with water and all kinds of things, trying to just have a good time and love the kids and preach the word of God. I can't tell you guys the numbers of times in 30 years of ministry I've watched a little girl be born in our church. And we dedicate her to the Lord, and she begins to grow, and she becomes six, and goes to the first grade, and then goes to the second grade, and third grade, fourth grade. Anticipation begins to build. She gets in the fifth grade, sixth grade rolls around. She graduates from sixth grade, going into the seventh grade, and it's finally time she gets to go to camp. Man, I see it every year. Her eyes are sparkling. She's got a bounce in her step. She's so excited, and she'll come up to me. She'll say, "Brother Jono, I get to go to camp this year." And I'm like, hallelujah, I can't wait. We're going to have a great time. And off we go, and we have a great time, and we teach her the word of God. And maybe she gets saved, and I baptize her, and she begins to walk with Christ. And next year, she goes to camp, and her eyes, she's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and she's just enjoying life. She's just enjoying Christ. And all of a sudden, she gets a boyfriend, and there's compromise. Long about the ninth grade, eighth or ninth grade, she gets involved in compromise and sin. And the light from her eyes goes away. And Pastor, she won't make eye contact with me anymore. When she walks by me, it's like this, and she won't look my way. There's no bounce in her step anymore. There's not that joy and that liberty that I used to see. She used to be carefree, and that carefree is gone now. You know what happened? A fly fell into her oil. And it decomposed and rotted. And what used to be the sweet fragrance of Christ has now been, it's been traded for stench. Young people, as dead flies in an apothecary's oil, so is a little folly in the life of one who's held in reputation and character and honor as a Christian. I want to close with this. There's some verses that have had an impact on my life, and they're just, I don't know, some people talk about life verses. I guess this is one for me. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, just a page over. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Or I should say 13 and 14, forgive me. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. And this is my prayer for you. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's the secret to being a consistent disciple of Christ. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now look, since God already knows who you are, and since God already knows what you're doing, and since He already knows about all the flies and all the good and all the evil, since He can already see it, and since you're going to stand before Him and give an account for Him, then why don't we do this? Why don't we just fear God and keep His commandments? And not allow those flies into our oil. And not allow those compromises and those sins and those indiscretions. Young people, listen. Fear God and keep His commandments. Just keep it simple. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And Father, I pray for these students. I pray that they would have godly character, godly integrity. The Christian graces would be in their lives. That they would have a good reputation, a good testimony. And Lord, though none of us are perfect, I pray that they would guard the sweet deposit of oil that You've poured into their lives. That they would not be careless. That they would not be reckless with their testimony. That they would not be rebellious. That they would guard their hearts. For out of them are the issues of life. Help these young people to fear God and keep His commandments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.